You know, it's kind of funny. It is Halloween weekend, and there's great whimsy to Halloween weekend. In fact, I tweeted out some messages about Halloween already. I've been busy. I've been very active on the Twitter account, and I sent two things out I want to bring to your attention. First of all, a great mask. We were driving past a Halloween store, and my son saw a mask. My high school senior son saw a mask in the window. And it was the cool, and it was 50% off. So he stopped, and it's like it was this great mess. So I tried it on and tweeted out that photo. My Twitter account is Deacon Punnett, DEACON, Deacon Punnett, PUNNETT, Deacon Punnett. And I love to do that with photos. And then, like a couple hours after that, I was driving past a house that had the worst lawn sculpture I have ever seen, ever. It's so awful that I'm surprised neighbors haven't come by and chopped it down in the middle of the night. It was about a 12 to 15 foot tall naked woman on somebody's front lawn, and not in a good kind of way. It's awful. And at first we went past it, we thought it was a Halloween decoration. And then we went past it, we went, no, it's permanent. It's stuck in, it goes up just past the, up to the second story window of this house. There's no getting around the sculpture. It's off. It's bigger than a totem pole. I couldn't believe it. I hope maybe at Halloween, at least I hope that they have the good sense to dress that up and make it something different for Halloween. Anyway, I love to hear from you, and I like to write back, too. So if you want to keep in touch during the week, I love to send stuff out. Deacon Punnett is my Twitter account. And I was really intrigued by this book. It took me a little investigative work, I think, to finally understand true police stories of the strange and unexplained. Detective Sergeant Ingrid P. Dean coming up next. You're going to love these stories. But there's a backstory to this title that I think I've sussed out coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right. Detective Sergeant Ingrid P. Dean retired. Good evening. Nice to talk with you. Love your book.
Great. Great to be here.
Very interesting career. You are a state licensed polygraph examiner. You're a professional artist. You're a musician, and some of your songs are on a website we'll tell you more about coming up in just a second, as well as a writer and obviously a veteran of the Michigan State Police, correct?
Yes, I've been with the Michigan State Police for 21 years and just retired last April.
Okay, so I'm reading the book, loving the book, True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained, and I kept coming across this theme that I even mentioned it last hour. I said, I think there's a word that's missing in the title of the book. And I thought the word that's missing that covers a lot of these stories specifically is miraculous. And that, yes, it's unexplained, but that I thought in a way miraculous was a better way to describe what some of these occurrences that happened to the police officers that contribute to the book. It's miraculous is a better way to describe their experiences. And so I was looking up some bio information about you, and I was just kind of sussing around the internet, and I saw what seems like maybe an earlier version of the book called Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition.
Yes, that was okay. The first book that we compiled, and I had an interview with George Noory a couple years ago about the book. It was independently published. True Police Stories is a refined version of it.
Totally get that. And that, yeah. But now it makes total sense, because I kept coming across these, and they're terrific stories. I'm taking nothing away from them when I say that I didn't think Strange and Unexplained was the best way to describe some of them, but now I understand that the original source material for this was about where there's more divine guidance and miracles and intuition in it. Now I get it, because I kind of remember hearing you promoed with George Noory, but I didn't hear the show, but now I get it. It's a terrific book, and now that it's been published under this title, True Police Stories, and obviously edited, no less enjoyable. But that theme of the miraculous runs from the beginning to the end, and it really is one of my favorite aspects of your book.
Thank you. It's been a long journey and a labor of love, and I really felt that book was important to get out to the public. And once the publisher found me and expressed some interest in republishing the first book, I really jumped on that opportunity. You know, they made a better book. They redesigned it. They reorganized it. They gave it the new name, True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. And I just knew that a publisher could help that book become much more available to the public.
Yep, I think it's a totally fair thing, and I'm glad it happened to you. And I highly recommend it, although I'm kind of curious to see what they left, what they took out of the original. So I may have to go suss out the original version. So let's talk about these true police stories, because these are stories which I think, to your credit, are signed by the police officers. You know who's saying this. They come right out and say what their name is and the force that they were assigned to. And you get a feeling that these are people who they'll take the ribbing for it. There's a lot of good natured grousing that I know goes on between police officers, but they're willing to. Yeah, they're willing to stand by their story.
The first book, I was concerned for my fellow police officers, and I put all their names in the front of the book rather than listing the names with the stories. And I got a lot of comments that said, you know, I want my name with the story. And so when the publisher published the new book, each story has the name of the officer and the name of the agency. And I just thought it was so cool that these officers wanted to have a voice. They wanted to be known.
And some of those police officers are going to join us tonight. Three of the people that are highlighted in the book will then join us and tell their stories coming up on Coast to Coast, one of which in just a few minutes. And I'll let you do the introductions when we bring them on, because I know that you've had a chance to get to know these people. But there are places where human beings live that are on the edges, and obviously police work is one of them. And the continually puts one in places where human behavior is being acted out in the extreme, yep. Where danger is coming from so many different places in so many forms that a police officer has to depend on intuition. You have to do more than just make rational assessments of what's going on. You have to sort of follow your gut. But divine intervention isn't something that people can count on necessarily. And so when that happens, no wonder these experiences of these police officers recount in your book, no wonder it stays with them, because it was in many cases the difference between life or death, and they had no control over it.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of those.
Well, first of all, I believe that we naturally develop the ability to see things, to feel things, and know things without quite understanding why. And a lot of that is because we're in life and death situations throughout our career, and it's a way that we stay safe and improve on our service. You know, it ensures that we go home to our families. We're servants to the public, you know, regardless of public image. We do whatever it takes to assist and resolve a traumatic, you know, or threatening situation, to the point that we have depended on our intuition or our connection with God, you know, or infinite intelligence. And I think that we're very sensitive people that the public has really not noticed. You know, we get a lot of bad rap.
Sure.
And we work awfully hard.
Now, I don't know about the Michigan State Police Academy, but I'm going to guess this is equally not true of them as it is for any other police academy across the country. They probably don't teach a lot of courses in divine guidance and intuition.
No. We're very fact-oriented overall.
Where does one pick that up then? If you're not being taught it, and it can be the difference between life and death, how is that communicated to a new officer?
I think officers that have a lot of experience communicate things. I think that because we want to be public servants and to serve the public, that we have tremendous empathy that goes unnoticed. You know, we may be reserved, which is natural to our field, but we care. You know, we do care about people. And
sure.
When we go to these investigations and cases, we really do our best.
Oh, I'm sure you do. But I'm going to rephrase that question because I think there's a different answer in there. When you graduated and you were first made a state trooper in Michigan, at what point, who was there any point that anybody sat you down and said, look, I know they didn't teach this in the academy. Let me tell you about the difference between life and death. And sometimes it's just relying on your intuition and your gut. And here are some of the things that happened to me. And here's how you should listen to your own gut and your own intuition, even if it's not quite by the book.
Right.
Who did that?
Experience.
So you nobody ever pulled you aside, put their arm around you and said, here's how you're going to survive.
Not really. I mean, they give you the basics. They give you the things to look for, and they educate you, and they, you know, practice with your logic, you know, and your common sense. But intuition and gut feeling is all innate. You know, that's inside ourselves.
Have you lectured to either the Michigan State Police Academy or to other academies across the country about your book?
Not yet.
You should. They should hand this out to the recruits, even if they just say at a distance, you know, they just at an arm's length, they say, look, you know, it's kind of a crazy woo-woo woman, but I think you'll find this interesting. I mean, even if they can't get their head around it, they ought to be handing this book out and letting troopers start getting it into their brain early on that buy the book is great, but there are other times when you're going to have to go buy the gut. And here are some ways of understanding how that might save your life.
I agree. And there isn't any experienced police officer that doesn't agree with you.
Right.
You know, we're very connected with that gut feeling, and whatever label you want to give it, whether you call it intuition or the Holy Spirit or a connection with divine intelligence, it works. And
yep.
When the hair stands up on the back of your neck, pay attention.
Well,
please pay attention.
If anybody is listening to me from that works with state police or with police academies across the country, or even at a university level teaching, they ought to pick up a copy of this book, and they ought to invite you to come in and be a guest lecturer because it could save lives. And that's what we learn from true police stories of the strange and unexplained, that this is not just one of those moments you go, wow, that was really weird, but it's often the difference between life and death. And sometimes it is death. I mean, there's some stories in there where people do die, but because of where the police officer was at the time of what happened, they were able to either help that person die more easily, or they were able to learn from that person and be able to have a better experience from something traumatic like that. And police officers are obviously people, too. And to be able to understand what they're in the middle of, that can make the difference between a police officer that's suffering from some sort of delayed stress and somebody who has a kind of a healthy outlook about this fringe experience that so many police officers have on a daily basis.
You're absolutely right. And,
okay.
You know, we may not talk about these unusual experiences or these exceptional human experiences, but it's not because we don't believe they're happening. And it's not because we don't believe we have special intuitive abilities either. It's really a matter of trust. You know, we're very selective who we talk to, and we're careful not to speculate or give opinions either, because that's the way we're trained. And so
right.
We're very aware that unusual things happen and exceptional experiences occur. We just don't talk about them.
But they do in the book, so that's
yeah.
Going to be very key. So I didn't cross-reference the officers that you've selected to share their stories coming up throughout the show. So I didn't want to know which stories were theirs. So even though they sent me a rundown of some of the other people, I didn't want to look them up because I want to hear the stories along with everybody else because I enjoyed reading them. And I made a point to not read all of them in the book because I'm kind of hoping to be able to share that same storytelling experience that everybody else is going to have in just a minute. But so I'll have to ask you about a story which that really stayed with me. Is it one of the stories that's coming up? The story about the police officer that was had a shotgun pointed at their face. When they were answering a call to a woman's house where the alarm had gone off. That isn't one of the stories coming up, is it?
No, but I remember that one well, and that's called The Fatal Vortex.
Yes. Explain the fatal vortex before we start talking to other stadies and stuff on the way.
Sure. The young man was called to a burglar alarm at a residence, and an old woman, an elderly woman, lived there and had pressed the panic button and thought that somebody was breaking into her house. So this trooper arrives, and he's awaiting for the key holder, which is the lady's son, to show up with the key because she's not answering her door for whatever reason. And this person arrives. He lets him in through the garage, and it's dark. The lights aren't on yet, but he can see the woman's figure, and she actually, you know, bless her heart, but she lifts up this gun, and it clicks. She actually takes a shot at him, thinking that he's the person breaking into her house.
And she's obviously suffering from some kind of dementia.
Possible. You know, it's possible.
But she's confused because, I mean, he obviously looks like a state trooper, and she was even married to a state trooper, correct?
Yes.
So you'd think she would recognize the silhouette of a police officer that was there to help her.
Well, this is called tunnel vision in police work, and even officers will get it sometimes. When you're under a tremendous amount of stress, it doesn't matter what you see. You're thinking in your mind what's happening, and in your own interpretation. And this woman was under immense stress.
So she thinks her house is being invaded. She pulls up a shotgun, and she pulls the trigger, and the hammer comes down and goes click, but it doesn't fire right at that police officer.
Correct. Well, what happens is he realizes that he is in a very bad spot. You know, when he's in that garage, he's totally exposed. And in recruit school, they tell you to leave as much space between you and any potential danger. But he is at the tip of what we call the vortex.
The fatal vortex.
Yes. And she attempts to take another shot, and he's screaming at her. He's telling her, look at my uniform. Look at my uniform. I'm wearing a badge and a hat. I'm a police officer. You know, when you call the police or you call 911, a police officer is supposed to arrive. So he's trying to be rational with this woman, and then he gets a little bit of help from the son. And finally, you know, she lowers the weapon and realizes that he is a police officer. But the funny thing, you know, and the miracle of this whole story is when he takes the weapon away from her he
cracks open the shotgun.
Yeah.
I mean, he opens up the barrel to look what was inside, and
it was loaded. A bullet pops out, a spent round that never gets fired. And when he later fires the weapon to see what's malfunctioning about it, it works perfectly fine.
The gun was working. There's no earthly explanation for why that gun didn't go off in his face.
Correct. And these things happen. I mean, call it divine guidance or a miracle, but he learned his lesson about a lot of things with that situation.
That would be what we call a kind of a come to Jesus moment right there. Well, very interesting. And he survives the fatal vortex. Explain the definition of a fatal vortex.
Well, I don't know the exact definition, but it's a V shape, and the whole theory of it is to stay in the widest part of that vortex.
This is how you explain it in the book. You talk about it being a funnel shape.
Correct.
And that you get further down, the further you get down to the fatal vortex, the less likely you will be able to extricate yourself.
That's right.
It's a theoretical space. When you see the circumstances of a fatal vortex developing, you have limited amount of time to get out of it, because the longer you stay in the fatal vortex, the more likely you will be to die.
Correct.
And he was remarkably far down the fatal vortex.
He was very close to the tip of it. He had nowhere to hide. There was nowhere to cover himself, no concealment, no nothing. He was right there. And that woman, if the gun would have worked, he'd have been shot and probably killed.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds. Tell us about the first officer we have coming up to tell their story, along with you, Ingrid P. Dean.
Officer Alan White. He submitted several wonderful paranormal and heart-oriented stories in the book True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. We chose to talk about his story, Spirits of the North, which shares about his experiences working in a haunted police department in Skagway, Alaska.
I love that story. I'm sorry.
Amusingly, the small-town donut shop that he now owns along with eight other fellow officers is now haunted, too.
Okay, so. We'll get to that all coming up next. True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained continues on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. And we're talking with Ingrid P. Dean, and one of the police officers featured in True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. Detective Sergeant Ingrid P. Dean continues throughout the night with us, but we'll bring in different police officers to join the conversation. I was just, in fact, I got a response tweet from Cops Donuts with their officer, Bubba White, as they refer to him, coming up in just a minute. And also to Devastation 79 and to Papa Tree. Other people who are sending messages, love to hear from you at that Twitter feed, Deacon Punnett. And yes, I just got an email from Fred's, a good reminder that there's snow in so much of the country, big, huge gobs of snow. Even though it's 70 degrees here in the upper Midwest, it's something like that, but it's warm as heck and going to be 60 something like that on Halloween Day itself. You know, snowed out, parties are snowed out. All up and down the East Coast and in some elevations in the West, too. So I guess the good news of that is you can't get in any trouble tonight. And but it must have been it'll be tough for the kids on Halloween Day if, like me, they had to go trick or treating in, like, you know, snowsuits. And you can't, you know, you can wear your costume under your snowsuit. It just takes a lot of fun out of it to me. So it's a warmish day on Halloween, I wish, for everybody. And to have a great, safe holiday for that coming up. And I think of it as a terrific, fun national holiday. And also, too, in the spirit of that, my most recent children's book, mostly for slightly older kids. It's not a warm and fuzzy book, but it's very cute, called Jacula the Vampire Dog, selling very well. Thank you very much. And sidewalkdog.com did a nice feature on the illustrator, sidewalkdog.com. If you look that up, you find out more about Jacula the Vampire Dog. So more with you coming up later on. We'll get to your calls. But first, let's hear more True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so lots of Twitter activity about Officer Alan White being on with us on Coast to Coast, as I'm seeing right here. And Ingrid P. Dean, True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. It's the new version of a book that was out a couple of years ago that George Norrie had on Coast to Coast. And good evening to you, Officer White, or do I call you Bubba, as I've been told is your nickname?
You can call me whatever you want, Ian, but thanks
okay.
for having me on.
Is that right? They put Bubba in parentheses? Is that?
I've been called Bubba for a long time.
Okay, all right. It's funny. My bookmark is in the middle of your story. I had been reading it earlier this evening, and then I got distracted, and I meant to get back to it. So I'm glad I didn't, because then I can enjoy it along with everybody else. And Ingrid P. Dean, who is the author and the editor and the collector of these True Police Stories. So Officer White, I'll let you start it from the very beginning here, because I understand you had kind of a series of experiences that you could share, and I kind of want to hear all of them. But let's talk a little bit about Skagway, just so we can get some context for what this is about.
Well, apparently the places I work tend to be inhabited by strange and unexplained encounters. The one that's in the book, years ago, when I was a much younger man, I always dreamed of going to Alaska. And since I was qualified to be a police officer and not a whole lot else, I sent out resumes and cover letters to every police department in the state. And there's only 23, so I had that many stamps. And I was accepted in a position for Skagway City Police, a small town southeast Alaska. It's about 80 air miles north of Juneau. And the police department at that time was housed in what used to be the U.S. jail back in the turn of the century during the gold rush. And if you do a Google search on Skagway Museum, it'll pop right up. It's a very I'd never been in a building like that. And after my break-in period, my first job was working midnight shifts. I guess most rookies start out that way. And I would occasionally hear noises and things in the building, but I wrote it off as just it's an old turn-of-the-century building. But one particular night, I was working midnight shifts, and I was in the building all by myself. The only light on in the building was the police office. And that's when I heard the door shut. Now, this door is a very old, solid oak, 2-inch-thick door with an ancient lock-set metal doorknob, and it looked out of place. It looked like it had been moved from somewhere else, maybe the jail area. And behind the door was the police where we store our equipment and uniform and so forth. And the reason that it caught my attention when the door shut is that particular door, whenever it closed, had a very loud and long screech to it, just this hideous metal whining against metal, and then the slamming as it went shut. And the door would not stay open on its own. So whenever you went in there to get something, police equipment or what have you, you would open up the door and it would slam behind you with this screech. So I'm sitting at my desk and everything's quiet and I'm typing out a police report, and I hear this door close. And I didn't really think a lot of it. I knew nobody was in the building. And I thought, well, maybe the door had been propped open and it went shut or something like that. So I got up and wandered down into the hall and found where the storage room was. And the door was closed. And I kind of pulled on it, a solid. I opened up the door and everything was dark inside. And I turned up the light and everything looked fine. And I let the door shut as I stepped out of the room and I heard the hideous screech again and it locked. And I pulled on the handle really hard to make sure it was closed and went back to my desk. And I'm sitting there for a few minutes, and I heard the door screech again and then close. Now, at this time, I'm not thinking of true police stories of the strange and unexplained. I'm thinking that somebody's in the building with me. And so my cop instincts kind of kick into gear. I go out, I pull my weapon, and I kind of stalk through the hallway, using my best police ninja moves, and come up to the door, and the door is shut. And so I figured, well, whatever, whoever opened that door must be inside the storage room. So I throw open the door and turn on the light and step in with my gun drawn, and there's nothing. There's nobody in there. Everything's in its place. And now this is really getting freaky.
Yeah, so, really.
I step out, shut the door, pull on it really hard, open up the door to see if it would open on its own. Of course, it won't. It rests against the casing. Shut it again, pull as hard as I can. Walk back to the office, and as soon as I sit down, the door screeches shut again and closes. Now, this time, I'm scared. I know there's no person in the building. So something caused that door to open and then shut on its own. So I didn't pull my weapon this time. I figured whatever is causing this to happen, bullets aren't going to stop anyway. And walk down the hallway. The door is shut. Open it up. Check the room. Everything's fine. Shut it. Pull as hard as I can on the door. It will not open. I walk back to my desk. I'm not there. 30 seconds. It shuts again.
How about that?
Now, at this point, I thought there's no sense going back down there. So I sat behind my desk in kind of a cold sweat. And about this time, I hear footsteps above me. The second level of the museum, police department, city hall, it was all one big building,
is
a museum. And it had a wooden floor that creaked whenever anybody walked on it.
Right.
During the day when people were up in the museum, you constantly heard footsteps. So I'm sitting at my desk and I'm hearing something walk from one end of the museum to the other, stop, turn, walk the same path back, and back and forth and back and forth. And this is when I started to get angry, because I had driven 3,211 miles from Clair, Michigan, where I was born, to Skagway, Alaska, and now I'm sitting in a department that has strange night moves. So I'm sitting there, and I'm getting angrier and angrier, and the door screeches shut again. And whatever is walking around upstairs runs into something. And this is when I had my first experience.
You say ran into something, meaning because you hear the sound of a ghost hopping on one foot because it just stubbed his toe? Or Just what do you mean by that?
It was like step, 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 bang, crash, like I ran into something.
Okay.
And so I decided I didn't know what else to do, so my first experience ghost busting was to yell at it. And I yelled, I pointed my head up towards the ceiling. I said, is that the best you can do?
Oh, you're shaming the ghost.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Is that the best you can do up there? You walk across the room and you run into something. I hope you hurt your, well, whatever it is that you have to hurt.
Right.
The door screeches shut again. And I said, oh, that's good. Any old two-bit spirit can shut a door. Is there anything else you can do? And then I said, just knock it off and leave me alone. And all was quiet. And I thought, ha, you're intimidated by me.
Yeah, really?
All was quiet the rest of the night. I don't say anything to anybody. I go home, and I'm going to go to bed, you know, sleep during the day. And I thought, maybe it was just a dream. Maybe it was just something, you know, weird. And for the next couple of weeks, everything was fine. And then it seemed like every few weeks, things would get weird in there. And I would yell, knock it off. And things would be quiet. But here's the interesting thing about the story. I hadn't told anybody. And one of the other officers there, we had now switched shifts. And he was working midnight. And one night when we were off duty, I was speaking with him. And I said, you know, just out of curiosity, on midnight shifts, do you ever hear anything weird in the department? And he had this look on his face that's really telling. And he said, what do you mean by weird? And I said, oh, I don't know. That old storage room door closing footsteps. And he breathed a sigh of relief. And he says, my gosh, I thought I was going crazy. Because he was hearing the same stuff. And so being an old hand at ghost busting, I said, listen, all you got to do is just yell, knock it off, and I'll leave you alone.
And did you ever have another encounter with that ghost? Is that the same ghost that later on you run into at your cop donut shop?
No, I don't think they're the same ghost. The ghost at Cops and Donuts is named Henry. And we heard kind of the legend when the entire police department bought the bakery in Clare. It was going to go out of business, and nobody wanted to buy it, and so we decided to save it. We renamed Cops and Donuts. And one of the employees was telling me that, you know, kind of the legend of Henry. And before Skagway, I was a complete skeptic. After Skagway, I wasn't. And I started hearing about Henry in the bakery. And I noticed that the bakery is very old. It was built in 1896. And I noticed that I would go downstairs to get a case of Cops coffee or something. And there's one area of the basement that's always about 10 degrees colder than everywhere else. And it was just kind of a strange phenomenon. And as a matter of fact, where this cold area was where the furnace was. There's still coal in the coal bin down there. It's just everything down there is aging. And you'd go in there and it just felt colder. And the other thing it felt is you just felt a presence, not a bad presence, you know, nothing evil right. or scary, but just that you weren't alone. I never was really scared down there or anything. And occasionally you'd be down in the basement and you'd kind of walk through a cold spot. And the other phenomenon that I noticed down there was you'd be walking along and it felt like you're walking through a spider web, but there wasn't anything there.
Hmm.
Now that's the only thing I've experienced, but
right.
luck would have it just today. One of the employees who didn't even know about Henry, came up to me and she said, the weirdest thing happened. I heard like somebody walking around upstairs of the bakery. And I knew nobody should be up there. So I went up there and there was nobody there. And this young woman she had never heard of Henry. So this was
right.
something totally. And then we've had, just a few weeks ago, an employee, we run a 24-hour operation, and one of the employees that works midnight to 8 in the morning was frosting donuts, and she said, the weirdest thing happened. I was frosting donuts, and somebody, it was like they whispered to me, I heard this whisper, put more frosting on that one. And she just kind of laughed, and she just kind of wrote it off. But
that was me, by the way.
It was you.
That was just me.
Everybody likes more frosting.
Yeah,
just,
I don't know about a ghost. I feel that all the time. I just say that to the universe, more frosting.
Yeah.
So I think that it just made its way all the way up to Skagway.
Yeah. And another,
so she had that feeling of putting more frosting on that one, and And she did, or did she resist it?
No, she felt compelled to put more.
Yeah. Yeah, have you ever thought maybe since it happened at the police department, then later on at your cop donut shop, that maybe you're haunted? Maybe that's the problem?
I think that's something I got to consider. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, and no matter where you go, you have these haunting experiences. Now, when you talk to other police officers, and we're, again, we're talking to Alan White, who's one of the police officers featured in True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. When you talk to other police stories, police officers, and you tell them things like this, generally, what's their reaction?
Some will kind of give you that quizzical look.
Right.
And others will tell you their story.
Okay, which I love that. Now, when you're out on the street, when you're doing things where, you know, and I've watched that Alaskan State Troopers show before, and I know that there's a lot of alcohol that gets consumed up in Alaska. Not that there isn't in other places, but it seems like there's sort of a unique quality maybe to some of these stops that you all have to make because they're out in the middle of nowhere. And they're, you know, you are often in a place where it's just you and somebody else. Ingrid was talking before about the difference between life and death that often comes from being able to trust your gut or feeling like there's sort of divine guidance involved. Have you ever experienced that?
I have. As a matter of fact, there's been times I've been alone working at night. My nearest backup is 20 miles away. A car will come through town with a taillight out or something, and I'm ready to stop it, and I just get this feeling, like just bad juju. You know, for some reason, for a taillight out, I'm not going to stop this car. That's, you know, and I've had other officers have that same feeling. Obviously, if it was a more serious infraction or something, you'd have to take action, but...
Right.
I've had that a couple times in my career. Car goes by with a headlight out, you know, check them out, see what's going on, and something just tells you no. And I think a lot of police officers have experienced that. It's just the sixth sense.
Yeah.
When you poke your head in cars at 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. I so get that. And I'm so glad that you've been safe and that you use that to help stay safe. But that's kind of a hard thing to teach rookies, isn't it?
It is. It is. But, you know, that's why, you know, veterans like Ingrid is so good at this. And I
right.
listening earlier, and I think, you know, she could add a lot to going around to police departments and doing seminars.
Right.
You know, kind of intuition, you know,
right.
listening to your gut.
As you could on the subject of donuts.
I certainly could.
You'd be guest lecturer on donuts and frosting and things. I'm glad to hear the donut shop's doing well.
It's doing fantastic. You know, we have a big presence on the web and Facebook. We have our own coffee brand now. You know, it's a bunch of guys. We're all friends from the chief on down. We're all owners. Ironically, the chief is my boss at the department, but I'm his boss at the bakery. but we're all friends, and it's just a bunch of great guys. And we just got together to save a historic business and are loving it.
Well, I had two words of advice for you. More frosting. That's
okay.
What I'm saying. Thank you so much,
Alan. I was just going to say, I got to know Ingrid through my books and her books, and she is absolutely awesome, and I encourage everybody to, you know, pick up True Police Stories of the Strange Unexplained. You won't be disappointed.
Well, I appreciate that endorsement. Thank you so much, and we've got more officers coming up on Coast to Coast. In fact, Ingrid, do you have any thought as we let Bubba go here, as you look back on his stories and how that fits into the book overall?
No, Alan is just—he's great. Read his stories that are in the book. There's several of them, and he is an excellent writer. He's just been in police work for many years, and I think that the listeners will really enjoy his work.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, if you start to yell at a ghost, and you're basically calling a ghost out as a police officer, I don't even know. What would you charge a ghost with? Would that be a misdemeanor? Would that be a...
That's cute.
Thank you. That's what I get paid for.
Thanks,
that's
Alan.
My work's done here. Coming up next hour, then, who are we going to talk to, Ingrid?
Trooper Herman Brown, one of the first police officers who ever contributed a story to my book project. And his story, Wake Up, is in both books.
Oh, this is the Wake Up guy.
Yes.
Oh, I read this story.
This is a fully materialized angel.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Well, let's not ruin it. Listen, oh, this is great. Okay. The wake-up story coming up next. You got to hear it. This really, this will get you to wake up if you're struggling with that. Coming up in just a minute. True police stories of the strange and unexplained. You can also go to coasttocoastam.com and link up to Ingrid Dean there. And while you're there, too, sign up for the Coast Insider. You can go back and listen to these first couple of hours of the show if you missed it. And all of the great shows waiting for you at any time at coasttocoastam.com. Sign up for Coast Insider. You'll never regret it. And we'll be back then with Wake Up next on Coast to Coast.